praise him for the things that he's done in our life. But we worship him for who he is. We know that he's a provider. And that's why we worship him. But we praise him because he's provided for us each and every day of our lives. We know that he's a healer, and that's why we worship him. But he's healed many of our bodies, and that's why we can praise him. And that's why we can say that he is good all the time. And all the time, he is good. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for this choir on today. Amen. And these great musicians, we thank you all on today. We thank God for our young people serving as ushers on today. And we thank you to the elder ushers for teaching them the way. Amen. Amen. I know we want to get to the food in the back. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten. So I'm going to preach real short. Well, I'm going to try to anyway. Sister Williams, you got me? All right. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I just want to read it one more time. Make sure we are grasping what's going on here. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But a creditor has come to take my two children as slaves.' Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' She answered, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.' He said, 'Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not just a few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your children and start pouring into all the vessels. When each is full, set it aside.' So she left him and shut the door behind her and her children. They kept bringing vessels to her and she kept pouring." Someone say she kept pouring.
She kept pouring.
"When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' But he said to her, 'There are no more.' The oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your children can live on the rest.'" For a few moments this morning, I'm going to preach from the subject, God Provides. God provides. Let us pray. Lord God, we just thank you for being so great and so awesome. And Lord God, again, we worship you for who you are. But Lord God, we are so grateful that we're able to praise you for the things that you have done in our lives. And Lord God, there are so many things that you have done that are too great to count. But Lord God, we pray that we would recognize that all we go through in our life, we can praise you because we are still alive. As you said in your word in Romans 8, 28, that all things work together for the good, for those who love you and have been called according to your purpose. So, Lord God, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to love you. And, Lord God, we thank you for the calling that you have placed upon our lives. Lord God, we thank you for what has taken place thus far. We thank you for allowing us to recognize Sister Green. Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to celebrate the mothers on today. Lord God, we thank you for the prayers and all the giving that has taken place during this worship service on today. But Lord God, we thank you for your word that is a lamp into our feet and a light into our pathway, a word that convicts us, a word that builds us up, Lord God, a word that is there to guide us along life's journey. And Lord God, we pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, our spirits to receive from you on this day. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for the men's ministry, the men of Christ who have planned out this day, and we thank you for the work that they have done to make this a great day. Oh, Lord God, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear what it is that you are speaking to us and through us so that we may go and build your kingdom. Lord God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
God provides. As I was thinking about this scripture, I was reminded of a video that I came across a few weeks ago by the late Dr. Miles Monroe, and he was talking about men and women and the roles that men and women had in society. And he brought up something that I had never really thought about, and he talked about how prior to World War I, in many traditional households, men brought home the bacon and women had the duty of managing the bacon. The bacon for you young people is money. You didn't know what that meant. But as I thought about it more and more, that was only true for a certain segment of society. In the African American community, not only did the men work and bring home the bacon, but the women also worked, whether it was cleaning houses or washing clothes or any other type of job that they could find to help sustain the household. And they still had the responsibility of managing the bacon. This tradition and custom continues on today. Many women don't have the luxury of staying home and focusing all of their attention on the household. They must split their time between working outside of the home and even taking care of the home. And this can be a very daunting task if you ask many women. And if we add to the scenario the fact that you may have a single mother, whether it's because of death, divorce, or any other situation, the task becomes even more daunting. Amen. But through it all, how many of us know that God provides? Yes. God will provide. We don't know how, we don't know when, we don't know where, we don't even know through who. God will bless us. And it's important for us to be open to whatever opportunity God places before us to help us understand that God does provide. Here in our text, we see a woman who is a widow. Her husband was a member of the company of the prophets, and he has now died. He had served the Lord and was faithful to God, and he had done his role and fulfilled his role successfully, and he has passed on to the other side. And this woman who is a widow, who is a mother of two boys, is now facing the very fact that her two children may be taken away because she is in debt to a creditor. How many of us know that sometimes in our life throws a curveball? Yes. That as we're dealing with the emotions and the fact that we have lost a loved one, life still goes on. Yes. Many times we want life to just cease to exist, but life does go on. And it went on for this woman. She had lost her husband, and she was dealing with the fact that he was gone and no longer was the household being provided for, but she also had some bills that her husband left behind. And now the creditor is trying to take advantage of her and take her sons into slavery. So not only is she faced with the fact that she has lost her husband, but now she has the potential of losing her two sons. The woman, she goes and sees the prophet Elisha, and she cries out to him, and she explains the situation that is going on, and Elisha is there to try to assist her through her situation, and he asks her the question, "What shall I do for you?" He asks her the question, "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" Elisha is providing her with an opportunity to see that God will provide. And so the woman, she says at first that "I have nothing in my household." But then she took a second moment to think, and she says, "Except a small," some translations say, "a small jar of olive oil." And this is something that I've learned as I've grown up and seen how my mother operates and see how my wife operates and see how other women operate. And women, you may can confirm this for me, but women always have a stash.
That's right.
Isn't that something? Women always have a stash. You may think that all the money is being spent on the bills and all the needs are being taken care of, and they are. But you got to remember, men, that women always have a stash. And I can imagine this woman, she was a woman of that type of character, that even though things were being provided for and taken care of, she had a backup plan. Says that she, at first, she didn't realize that she had anything, but she realized that at some point she had a small jar of oil that was stashed away. And in order for us to realize that God provides, we have to understand that God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. God, we cannot put all of the attention on what we expect God to do, but we have to be willing to be participants in the blessings that God provides to us. So there's some things that really stuck out to me as I read this text and thought about mothers and the struggles that mothers go through and the sacrifices that they make. And the first thing that sticks out and helps me to understand that God provides is that faith has to be part of the process. She had faith enough to go to the man of God and ask him what she should be doing because her sons were about to be taken into slavery. She had faith enough to ask him, not only to ask him what she should do, but she also had faith enough to put into play what he suggested. There were probably some people, as the prophet told her, to go outside and to borrow vessels from all of her neighbors. He told her to get some empty vessels and not just get a few vessels, but get as many vessels as you can. Get some jars, get some bowls, get some cups, get whatever you can so oil can be poured into these vessels. And I can imagine there were people in the neighborhood who knew her situation. And there were probably people who didn't understand why she would be asking for empty jars. People probably knew her situation and may have even questioned her motives in requesting the jars. Right. She knows she needs money. Why is she walking around this neighborhood asking for empty jars? Right. She knows she needs more than that. Her two boys are about to be taken into slavery, and she has the audacity to come and ask for some empty jars. But the woman, she had faith enough to continue to go out and do what the man of God told her and instructed her to do. It lets us know that she went out and requested the jars, so she had faith enough to know that God provides. Yes. As we think about and pause for a moment and think about the oil, the olive oil, if you will, in this particular scripture, and in Bible and biblical times, olive oil was mentioned several times. Olive oil was used to light lamps. It was also used for anointing oil. It was used in the grain offerings that we saw in Leviticus chapter 2. Kings were anointed with this oil as a sign that they were chosen by God to rule. It was an important ingredient in the recipe for the anointing oil. Olive oil was used as a base. It was used to sanctify the priest and the tabernacles and the furnishings that you found within the tabernacles. But it was also used in cooking. So we see that olive oil, it had many purposes. It was used for many different occasions. And olive oil was an important part of the Jewish culture because it had so many uses. And because of its centrality to much of Jewish life, olive oil was sometimes used as a symbol of richness, joy, and health. Think about that. We have a woman who is widowed. We have a woman who's facing a creditor who's about to lose her two sons to slavery, but she has olive oil. And the symbolism in that is that she's rich, she has joy, and she has health despite all that she's going through currently in her life. And that's a blessing for many of us today because of the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. There's still some things in our life that we can hold on to that helps us to understand that we're rich, we have joy, and we have health in our life. God does provide. God provides us with all that we need and something that we can offer to the world. And we have to be careful not to discount what is already in our possession. We may not always understand what God gives to us in the moment, which may be a conduit for a major breakthrough or blessing. This woman, she didn't realize what she had in her possession, But the prophet Elisha understood what this woman had her hands on. So he tells her to go and gather these vessels. He tells her to get as many as she can from her neighbors, and then to go into the house, to close the door behind her and her children, and to start pouring the oil into the vessels. This woman, as I stated before, says she only has a small jar of oil. But she didn't question what the prophet told her to do. That helps us to realize that she was willing to stand out on faith. So the story goes on, and it shows not only did she have faith, but she acted in her faith, which shows us obedience. God first wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe that he is able to provide. But not only does he want us to believe that he's able to provide, he wants us to be obedient to the faith that he has given us. She went out, she got the jars. She went in the house as instructed and closed the door behind her and her children, and they began to pour the oil. And as we see here in the text, it says they kept pouring and pouring, and she kept asking for jar and vessel after vessel, and she kept pouring. But if you think about what's taking place here, is that the oil never runs out. It doesn't run out until they get to the last vessel that they were able to take up. That's a supernatural blessing that took place. Many of us, we focus just on what's happening right here in the natural. But God wants us to focus on what's possible in the supernatural. God is trying to get us to understand that he gives us any and everything that we need for him to provide for us. We just have to be willing participants in the equation. So it says that they're pouring and they're pouring and they're pouring. They're putting aside those vessels that are being filled up. And it says when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said to her, "There are no more." Then the oil stopped flowing. Helps us to realize that as many jars and vessels and things that could have been poured in, they had to just keep on collecting those things. And it shows us the faith that they had and the faith that God gives to us to operate in our lives. So the more vessels that they had, the more oil would have been able to flow. But it got to a point where the oil stopped. And it says she came and told the man of God, and he said to her, "Go sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your children can live on the rest." So not only did she have faith, not only did she have obedience, but because of her faith and obedience came abundance. Think about that. She had faith enough to go to the prophet Elisha and explain her situation. She had faith enough to go and do what he instructed her to do. And because of her faith and obedience, now she was in a position of abundance. How many know that God will provide? Not only was she able to pay her debts so that her sons wouldn't go into slavery, but it says that she and her sons could live on the rest of what was available. It was a lot of oil that had to be poured. Not only did God bless her to have a stash, if you will, but he took that stash and allowed her to establish a business. It wasn't just something that she found herself putting to the side for safekeeping or for a situation that may arise. But it helps us to understand that this was now a business that she could pass along to her sons, and no longer did they have to worry about where the money was going to come from. A lot of times we just get caught up in the blessing and we get caught up in the material. But how many of us know that we need to pay more attention to what God is doing to set up future generations? Not only was she able to take care of her sons, but now they were in a position, if they took care of this business, to bless future generations. And I believe that's what many mothers who have been in the past and who are right now, they're trying to set up future generations to have abundance. Yes. And we thank God for you mothers, yes, because you could have been the ones to keep it to yourself. You could have been your ones to, could have been the ones to be selfish and have no concern for other people, but the Lord saw fit for you to not only care for yourself and your household, but to care for future generations. God will provide. And if we think about it, this wasn't the first time, and it wouldn't be the last time that God took nothing or something that seemed insignificant and created an abundance. He took what was dark and formless and void and made the heavens and the earth. He took David from being a shepherd boy to conquering Goliath and becoming a king. He took a widow named Ruth and allowed her to marry Boaz, which kept the lineage of the Savior alive. Not only that, but he took a prostitute named Rahab and allowed her to be part of the family of God. Not only that, he took two fish and five loaves and created an abundance of food. We have a God who specializes in taking what appears to be nothing and doing a supernatural thing. There's also a time where he allowed to come through 40 in two generations. A baby who was born in a manger in Bethlehem. A baby who escaped with his parents to Egypt. A young man who was raised in Nazareth and formed and shaped into being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And how many of us can testify to the fact that we have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, something that people saw to be insignificant. Something that many people would have counted out. Some that many people would have said he did not come from the right place. He wasn't born to the right mother. He wasn't born to the right father. He wasn't born into a family of privilege, but he was one who came to save us all. And that helps us to understand that God is there to provide for us. It helps us to understand that God has our best interests at heart. And I believe Tamla Mann said it best. She said, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. And there are many mothers who can testify to the fact that you've been through struggle, you've been through heartache and pain, but God does provide. You've been through hell and high water, you've been through trial and tribulations, but God still provides. You may have lost some loved ones in your life. You may have had some struggles in your marriage. You may have had struggles in your relationship. But how many can testify to the fact that God still provides? Is there anybody here who can testify to the fact that God still provides? He provided a Savior for you and me. He provided us a way out of death. He provided us a way to have eternal life. He provided a way for us to have life and life more abundantly. And we can say that God does provide. God provides. And that's good news on today. Because all of us go through struggle. All of us go through heartache and pain. But the good news is God doesn't leave us. He said in his word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, when your mother walks away, when your father walks away, when friends just pass along, I'll still be there because I want what's best for you. I have what's best for you. And all you have to do is have faith, be obedient, and watch me work and do what I've been called to do. God provides. God provides. An old preacher would say that he was Adam's redeemer. Jeremiah, he would say that he was Abel's vindicator. He would say that he was Noah's ark and Moses' bush on fire. Some say he was Gideon's fleece. Some say that he was Samson's power. Some say he was David's music. Some would even say he's Solomon's wisdom. Is there anybody here who knows my Jesus? Is there anybody here who knows my Lord? Some say he's a rock in a weary land, a battle axe in time of war. Some would say he's a bridge over troubled water. Some say he's a friend to the friendless, that he's hope to the hopeless. that he's water when you're thirsty, and he's bread when you're hungry. How many know that God still provides? And I don't know what he is in your life, but I can say that he's my all in all. I can be like Moses, and he said to Moses, that I am, that I am. And it helps me to realize that he's all that I need him to be in my life. So realize that God provides. Realize that you're not alone. Realize that God has your best interest at heart, and he wants what's best for you. God loves us so much that he gave his only son. Imagine that, sacrificing the only child you have. Being willing to give up what you love so dearly. But God gave it up for us so that we can be reconciled unto him. So that we can have eternal life. So that we can have life and life more abundantly. That doesn't mean that you have to wait until you get to heaven for what God has in store for you. He has it right here on earth. And all we have to do is be willing participants to realize the blessings that we already have. And to come together with God and to partner with God so that he can bless us even more. And it's not a blessing for us, but we're blessed to be a blessing. This woman, she wasn't keeping the money for herself. The prophet tells her to go and sell the oil. He tells her to pay her debts. And it says you and your children can live on the rest. We don't know how old this woman was. But at some point in her life, she was going to die. And after she was well and gone, her children can continue to live off the work that they did when the prophet instructed them to do. They were setting up generational wealth. They were setting up generation after generation after generation. The blessings would just continue to flow. And that's our duty and responsibility as believers, to have faith in the Lord, to be obedient to his word and his will. But in order for us to be obedient to his word and his will, we got to be able to read, willing to read his word and his will. Not only reading the word and the will, but acting on it. God has some great things in store for us. And it's up to you to believe that you're worthy of what God has in store for you. And many of us have trouble believing that he has great things in store for us. But I'm here to let you know, God provides.